Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class.
Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. I'm Jennifer Hadley. I'm your host and so grateful to be joining with you for our class today. And our theme this time is cultivating spiritual sight. And our topic that Gary so graciously accepted is following divine guidance, trusting divine guidance enough to follow it. And that's definitely something that Gary knows a lot about. And I was so grateful for his sharing in our class yesterday. So this class is the homework class about following and trusting in divine guidance. And we have one more class left. So goes by so quickly. What a great series. And really, truly, thank you deeply for everyone who's written to say how valuable these classes are. Many have written to me to say that they are having a deeply healing experience through connecting in with these classes. And that's the whole reason for these homework classes, is to give you practical tips and tools that support you in applying what we're sharing here, because it's just not enough to listen. Don't we know that? That reading books and listening to audios is in and of itself not healing. But when we apply our ahas, our insights, when we actually employ the tips and the tools, then there is tremendous healing. And we see that over and over again. But many of us have resistance and reluctance. So one of the tools that I use to eliminate resistance and reluctance is affirmative prayer. And affirmative prayer is something that I teach in my Finding Freedom class. I teach it in my year-long Masterful Living course. And one of the resources that we all have is the Song of Prayer. And in Gary Renard's book, Disappearance of the Universe, there's some wonderful teaching in there about prayer. And one of the things that is in Disappearance from the Song of Prayer is the beautiful teaching on prayer about the greatest gift that we can give to our Creator is to take everything we think we want, everything we think we need, and to lay it on the altar for healing. In other words, to give up the wanting and the needing, and to allow ourselves to be held and lifted, carried, supplied, and sustained by the very love of God. And that takes us in a direct route into understanding and living the unity of all life, let go of the separation. So let us begin with a prayer and do just that. So we take this breath of love and gratitude and we open our heart, we open our mind to the higher Holy Spirit self. I place my hand on my heart, declaring that I wholeheartedly am grateful and thankful for the Holy Spirit, for divine guidance. So grateful to open ourselves to be receptive. We are willing to receive a divine download every day, all day long. We're willing to live in that connection and communion with pure love, pure spirit, pure wisdom, pure intelligence, and to remember our true nature and our true identity is already as holy can be. We're already perfect. We don't have to become any more perfect. It's not even possible. So we're grateful to surrender every thought that we're not already perfect, that there's something wrong with us, and that we are in any way unworthy, undeserving, or in some way bad or wrong. We're giving all that up to the Holy Spirit for healing, and we are willing to allow for a healing. We are willing to allow for tremendous insight and clarity. We are grateful and thankful to share the benefits of our insight, our clarity, our awakening mind with everyone because we're one with them. In gratitude, we allow it to be. We let the healing be, and so it is. Amen. 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 Beautiful. Thank you for joining in prayer with me. I am a big believer in the power of prayer. I've had so many amazing, miraculous healings in my mind because of my prayer work. And I have so much to say on this topic of trusting and following divine guidance. And what I've been guided to is what I'm going to share. And the first thing is one of the most common questions that I get. And I answer it all the time in my radio show and in these Living A Course in Miracles classes from previous outings, because we probably have a couple hundred of these Living A Course in Miracles classes at this point that we've done, if not 200, close to it. And so one of the most common questions that I get of all on any topic is, how can I tell the difference between ego thoughts and inspiration, intuition, divine guidance? How can I tell the difference? And it is such an important question, such a valuable question, because knowing the difference will make a huge difference in our life. So, and fortunately, there is an easy way to tell the difference. All we have to do is pause and think about it, and then we'll realize what the difference is. So when we're thinking ego-based thoughts, fear-based thoughts, it has a tone, it has a vibration. So some people are very intuitive through their sensing. I certainly am. And that kind of intuition is called clairsentience, where you're feeling it. And that's where I get a lot of my insight. And it's not even feeling it in my physical body. It's like feeling it in my energy body. And then the feeling tone will feel either negative or uncomfortable, or it will feel true, is the best way I can describe it. And you see, one of the aspects of our awakening is we become more and more familiar with the way that the higher self, the Holy Self, the Holy Spirit, the angels, the ascended masters, the ways in which the company of heaven and all that is holy, all of life, speaks to us. We begin to recognize that higher dimensional vibration that is intuition, that is spirit communication. Just as, let's say, I think one of the best examples is, for instance, I was having a conversation with my father yesterday, and if he called and I didn't look at the caller ID or anything, and I just heard his voice, and I heard his voice say, "Hello, how are you?" I would know instantly it was my father. It's like I have prayer partners that I've had for many years. And when I'm on a prayer partner call with three or four of my prayer partners, I know immediately who is who. That all of them, let's say I'm on the phone with three or four of my prayer partners, every single one of them could say the same word, "Hello, hello, hello, hello." I would know exactly who each one is. And I'm familiar with the tone, the quality of their particular resonance. And so as we become more and more willing to live in accordance with divine guidance, divine will, divine love, divine truth, we are in the same vibration with that communication. So we recognize it as a match. And then the ego communications, we recognize them as being not true, not valid, not interesting, not worthwhile, that they will take us down an unpleasant or difficult or distracting path. So that's one good thing to know, is that is something that naturally happens through our willingness to align with divine will. Now, some of us feel the guidance, that's clairsentience. Some of us hear the guidance, that's clairaudience. Some of us have the thoughts appear in our mind, that's claircognizance. And so we have these different ways, and then many people also have clairvoyance, which is you see images in your mind. And most of us have a combination, and most of us are stronger in one area or the other. So for instance, my way of receiving intuition is least likely to come through clairvoyance, images in my mind. But I still get images in my mind all the time. It's just I'm more likely to receive or recognize intuition when it comes in clairaudience, claircognizance, clairsentience, and mostly clairsentience. And so that's just a little bit of information that might help you discover how you are receiving your intuition. And one thing you can do too that's helpful is if you were to think of, let's say, if someone were to tell you a story, like if I tell you a story right now of, let's say, when I was living in Kauai last year, one of the things I loved to do at the end of a long day when I was feeling very fulfilled from doing my work and also feeling a bit tired and in need of refreshment, one of the things I would do is I would pop on my bathing suit and grab my towel and go down to the beach. And so I'd take that beautiful drive down to the beach as I lived up on Mount Waialae, and or on the side of it there, on the Waialua homestead in Kauai, and up above Kapaa, and could see the beautiful mountains and the sleeping giant, and that windy road down to the beach. And then I would park and right at the beach and go and jump in the water. And sometimes I'd be in the surf, depending on how I felt, or I would go into the gentler waters and swim and soak. And I'd bring my goggles so I could see the beautiful tropical fish in the water. And sometimes I'd be there as the sun was setting and there'd be some rain and some rainbows in the sky. And sometimes the moon would be rising over the water and I could see the mountains from the water. It was such a beautiful, magical time of day. It'd be so wonderful and so refreshing. And then I'd take a shower and usually just go back home and make some dinner. And it's just a wonderful ritual that I would do most days of the week. And okay, so there's my story. Now, if you think about what were the highlights, of the story for you? Was it something I told you that I saw? Was it something that I told you that I heard? And I didn't say a lot of things that I heard, like the waves or anything like that. But I'm remiss in that. But were you focused on how I was saying that I felt? Or do you remember the words that I used to describe it and the thoughts I was thinking? That will help you to begin to get some indication of where your attention goes. So if you notice what you remember about somebody's story, do you remember when they talked about the temperature, how hot it was, they were dripping sweat, and how that felt? Or are you visualizing the hot sun, the bright light? It's that kind of information that will give you a clue as to perhaps where your intuition is going to come through, because some people don't trust the feelings that they have. And I've definitely gone through a journey of trusting the feelings that I have, that while everybody else might say, that's crazy. Like when my mom was diagnosed with terminal cancer, the doctor said she has 3 months to live. You know, my family just freaked out, as you might imagine. And, but I could feel that it wasn't true. I could feel that she had years if she chose. At the very least, I felt she had 3 years. And I didn't try to convince anyone. I just said, I don't think it's true. I think mom has years, and she could have quite a few years if that's what she would like. And people really did not want to hear that. So I don't, one of the things I don't do is I don't go around sharing my intuition with people who are not interested in asking for it. Many times in my life, I've had people come up to me who were, let's say, psychic or intuitive, and I do think there's a difference, and would say things to me about my future. And I didn't ask them for any of that. They just laid it on me. And I kind of think that's like a spiritual no-no, let's say. Unless spirit is really guiding you to do that, and I don't find that spirit is rarely guiding me to something like that. And when I do get guidance to share with somebody, I ask them first. I'll say, you know, I have a thought about that, or I have a feeling about that. If you'd like, I can tell you about that. Sometimes people say yes, and sometimes people say no. And it's whatever works for them is fine for me. I don't feel compelled to share what insights I have. And most of the time, like most people who are very intuitive, I'm not interested in picking up all kinds of intuition about anyone, unless I'm doing a counseling session with them and it's helpful, or I'm teaching a class and it's helpful. So there's that. Now, going back to the difference between the voice of the ego, we could say, or communication or ego thoughts versus communication from spirit, is the ego tips itself off all the time because it uses words that are negative, like you should do this, you shouldn't do that. That's a clear sign that the ego thought is what is coming through. It's not spirit. When you hear that word should, or you feel that word, that should thought, if that's what's coming through as a should, it's ego. Because spirit has no shoulds. We have a myriad of choices all the time. And our highest path of learning and freedom is to identify the most loving choice, to be interested in the most loving choice, to be asking for the most loving choices to be made plain and clear and irresistible. That has been a really good tool for me. As for quite a while, I really was praying to change my mind and to release the ego identification. And so I would pray, please let it be that I don't even recognize the ego thoughts. They're of so low interest, low vibration to me. And the God thoughts are crystal clear and so attractive, so appealing, so identifiable that that's all that I recognize and am attracted to. So I prayed that many, 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 many times. And when you're feeling muddled, that's a wonderful thing to ask for. And I think one of the greatest things I've learned in my journey about divine guidance and inspiration, etc., is that I see many, many people, they don't ask often enough for insight, for clarity, for assistance, for healing. They just don't ask. Because they don't feel worthy, right? And why don't they feel worthy? Because they've been so attracted to separation thinking, separation activities, that they feel this great unworthiness, this great guilt, this great shame. And the most important thing that A Course in Miracles tells us is all that shame, all that guilt, all that blame, the regret, the resentment, all of it is meaningless, absolutely meaningless. That the only thing that has value and meaning is love, compassion, kindness, generosity, and the gifts of God, which are ours to receive and experience and know and feel and sense and hear 100% of the time, fully and completely. And we've blocked that divine guidance with our thoughts of lack, attack, limitation, and separation. Those four main things: lack, attack, limitation, and separation. And of course, all limitation and separation, they're the same thing. They're two words that mean the same thing, truly, because all experience of limitation comes from valuing or investing in thoughts of separation. Because our nature is unlimited and unprecedented. And the guidance is live streaming all the time. We cannot escape it, nor would we wish to. Well, sometimes we do. But there is no limit at all. And we are limitless beings. God is unlimited, but we believe that we're separate, and therein is the major limitation. And then, as Course in Miracles says, there are no problems. We believe we have problems, but the only problem we have is really that we believe we have problems. The only problem that we really have is that we believe that we're separate from God. And all problems that we think we have, whether it's we seem to have a lack of health or a lack of wealth or a lack of love or a lack of intelligence, a lack of beauty, any lack that we seem to have is a projection of our belief that we are unworthy of God's love and separate from God's love. So it's all an illusion. So divine guidance is to lead us back to the truth. And so it's live streaming all the time. If we're focused on our opinions and our judgments, we simply aren't available for divine guidance and inspiration. So the ego will say to us things like, we should do this, we shouldn't do that. It will say things like, you're stupid, you're never going to get there. For me, I remember some of the most common ego thoughts that I would buy into were, this spiritual stuff works for everybody, but not for you, because there's something wrong with you. You're just not good enough. You never will be. You're broken. You can't be fixed. Who are you kidding? No matter how hard you try, you'll never be good. It's not your nature. There's something fundamentally wrong with you. You are essentially evil. Seriously, these are the thoughts I used to think. I felt that I was fundamentally evil. And I'm so grateful that through extending love and compassion to others and my commitment to love others purely and to see the beauty of them, through my commitment to that, extending love, I began to see, oh, all are worthy. And I began to see and feel and know that I'm not fundamentally bad or evil. I am, in fact, fundamentally good. I am fundamentally good. And then through the work of A Course in Miracles and studying the Course, I began to understand that the only real issue I have is that I think that there's something wrong with me. And in fact, there is nothing wrong with me. And so A Course in Miracles tells us to really focus on realizing that that is a false belief. It never could even be true. And that it is such a foundational false thought that everything else that we think that's not true, every other painful thought we have, is predicated upon it. It's based upon it. So if we can just give up that one premise that we're fundamentally bad, then we will recognize the truth of our being, and of course the truth sets us free. Sets us free from all that's false that we've made up. And what I was sharing about the other day is that we are so enamored of or attached to or attracted to all the false thoughts simply because we invented them. We made them up. They're ours. They're our little, of Course in Miracles wouldn't call them a creation. So it calls them miscreations. There are miscreations. And even though they're ugly and they hurt us and all of that, we love them or we're attracted to them, we like them, we value them because we made them. But we can just say, Holy Spirit, I'm putting every crazy thought in a basket right here for you, and you just take them all and dissolve them forever. Just forever and ever. I'm only interested in remembering I am perfect, all are perfect. So that's why I was saying, I think with Lisa Natoli's class, I was saying one of my favorite affirmations is I am perfect. And, you know, it took a while before I could feel comfortable with that, but I am perfect. So are you. And so I'm comfortable with it now because I believe it to be true. I know it to be true. I am perfect. And so are you. In my, I record a prayer every day. I have a prayer phone line and you can, get, well, I'll give you the phone number now. It's a Southern California number. I know many people around the world have, telephone plans. They can call the U.S. How cool is that? So the phone number is 760-569-6005. 760-569-6005. And I have a page about prayer on my website, jenniferhadley.com. So I record a new prayer every day, and it's there on the phone line. You can call it all day long. There's no special charge. It's just a Southern California number. So there's no extra charge for that number. And then I also post the prayer on my daily blog. And you can download the transcript of the prayer, you can download the prayer, or you can just listen to it. And also, I have a podcast of prayers. So if you go to the Jennifer Hadley prayer page, you can find the podcast of prayers. And I think you can find it at iTunes, too. If you search for my name at iTunes, you'll find a bunch of stuff there. And trying to recall what got me on the prayer topic. well, it'll come back if it's meaningful. I'm going to take a sip of my spiritual espresso here. That's the name of my blog, by the way. I write daily inspiration, and we have daily text messages, too, that we send at random times during the day, Eastern or North American time, so that, but I think you can sign up with most phone carriers around the world. So we send those are free too. So one of the reasons why we don't accept divine guidance, inspiration, and intuition, and we reject it and go along with the ego is partly because we are really seeing ourselves as fundamentally bad, and we often will cultivate this lower vibrational experience, you could say thought, feeling, and so then we're more attracted to things of a lower vibration. But we can change that and shift that and cultivate higher vibrational thoughts and feelings. It's up to us. Remember that A Course in Miracles tells us over and over and over again to choose again, choose again, choose again. So that's how we train our mind to become disinterested in the past, which is all that the ego has to talk about. Just everything the ego has anything to do with is the past. Even when it's scaring us about the possible future, its whole way of looking at everything is through the lens of the past, through the failures of the past, through the shortcomings of the past, through the pain of the past. So whenever we're following the ego's voice, we're going to be learning through recreating the pain of the past. And I was sharing about that quite a bit in the Expanding into Love class from the other day. So we have this belief, many of us, that we're fundamentally bad, wrong, stupid, whatever it was. For me, it really came through as fundamentally wrong. Something's wrong with me. Unfixably, immutably wrong with me, but very evidently wrong with me. And so everything that I was experiencing would have the likelihood of triggering me into that false belief. Oh, the reason why they're treating me this way is because there's something wrong with me. The reason why I'm having this experience is because there's something wrong with me. The reason why I can't seem to get this to work is because there's something wrong with me. It was just there in my thoughts all day long. And some people would say that this is low self-esteem, that it's a self-esteem issue. You know, that might be a way that a psychologist or a psychiatrist would look at it, or a self-help guru would look at it as it's low self-esteem. And that's fine. We could use that as a possibility. But it's really, we're simply, we have made up this story that I'm fundamentally wrong or bad. And because I made up the story and I'm the one that decided something's wrong with me, I'm attached to it because I made it up. I invented it. A Course in Miracles says that this tiny mad idea came into our mind and we forgot to laugh. And that tiny mad idea is that we're separate, that there's something wrong with us, that we're bad, that we're unworthy, that we're not good enough, any version of that, or that we could judge, or that we're other people are less than or better than, all versions of a tiny mad idea. And we forgot to laugh at it and go, that's crazy. How could any of that possibly be? We're one with each other. What? It's not even possible. How crazy is that, that I had that thought? We forgot to laugh. So one way is to begin to remember to laugh. Laughing is good. And one of the best things to be able to laugh at is ourselves when we're identified with the ego. So what, that's one of the things that I actively began to do was I would hear these crazy ego thoughts in my head, like, so-and-so is an idiot, or I'm never going to have a happy life. And then I started to go, oh my God, that thought is so not true. I am not believing that story anymore. That story is a completely false story. My story is the story of God's glory. So I learned the value of talking to myself and telling myself the truth. And it's so valuable when these thoughts come into our mind that aren't true and we can feel the vibration of it. This is a negative thought, partly because we go, and I had one this morning. So when I left Hawaii, I lived in LA for 22 years. So I traveled around for a couple of years and then I went to Hawaii. And when I moved to Hawaii, it was great. Just like when I was in LA, I would go to bed pretty early, 9:30, 10 o'clock. For some people, that's early. And I like to get up quite early, 5:30. And I love when I can get up at 4:30. And I usually don't use any kind of alarm clock. I just wake up when spirit, like, it's time. And when I came back to the East Coast last year, I've had a difficult time getting back into what is for me the best sleep regimen. And so I've been staying up later. And I catch a second wind, and I'm doing things that are useful and helpful. I'm answering emails, I'm writing blogs, I'm brainstorming, doing different things, but then I stay up too late. So anyway, it's not my preferred time to be awake. I'd rather be up very early in the morning. I like that time much better. So anyway, I'm in this process of changing my sleep pattern and focusing on it. So this morning I woke up and I knew it was like time to wake up. It's time. And I'm far down East Maine. So the sun starts getting up around, I don't know, 4 o'clock now. And it was bright out. And I thought, oh, wow, it's very bright. And I thought, I really slept a long time. And I looked at the clock and it said 9:33. I was like, oh my God, 9:33. Whew. Wow. How could I have slept so long? That's amazing. And I got up to go to the bathroom. I went to the bathroom and I came back to bed to do prayers and things that I do in the morning in the bed and different things I do before I go about the house and whatnot. And I could see the clock more clearly now, and I saw that it said 5:33, not 9:33, the digital clock. And I went, oh, okay, that makes a lot more sense. But I was up. So the thought that I had slept so long was a shock to me. And it didn't really get an adrenaline rush, but it did have me wake up. And I'm going to have to mute out for 1 second because I need to blow my nose. Take a sip of my spiritual espresso. But so it wasn't a fear thought that it was 9:33, but just a kind of like, oh, I have to recalibrate now because I've got two classes today, and the first one's at 12, and I've got the plumber coming, and things like that. So I just went into kind of quick thinking mode. And but I remember very well how I would wake up in the morning with a fear thought that would just send a jolt of adrenaline right through my body. Or another thing that used to happen to me on a fairly regular basis was I would be falling asleep and I would have a fear-based thought that would send a jolt of adrenaline right through my body. Those are ego-based thoughts. Those are ego-based thoughts. It's upsetting. That's how we know it's not spirit. Ego talks to us with thoughts like, oh, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing that? That is not a spirit-based thought. Inspiration, intuition is that still small voice that speaks to us and says, call Nancy now. Now's a good time to go to the store. I know one of the things that I began to really pray for also was just follow the guidance. Because if you're praying to receive the guidance, but you don't follow it, you start to feel like you're failing. So I really began to pray, like I said before, that the guidance is so irresistible that I'm just not interested in anything else. Now, there are lots of fun ways that you can begin to practice this. Like you can go to the grocery store, and I used to do this. I go to the grocery store. Before you go in the store, take a pause and say, angels, heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, whoever you want to, or all of them, Mother Mary, Kuan Yin, I love them all, Archangel Michael, Raphael, however it works for you. Before you go in the store, take a pause, call heavenly beings, your higher self, the Holy Spirit, and say, let me walk through the store and only be attracted and interested in the foods and items that are for my highest good. That's it. Very simple. And then go in the store and notice where maybe your ego is drawn to certain things, and because I went through a period where my experience of the ego was so interruptive. Could the ego get me off the track, off the God track? The more interested in God I became, the more I became dedicated, the more prayerful I became, the more meditative I became, the more committed I became, the ego would send me these things where I could make a choice that would lead me down an ego path where I would ultimately feel bad. And I really struggled with that for a long time. For me, it had a lot to do with self-medication. So I would drink too much, smoke too much, eat too much, or even exercise too much, or work too much. Those kinds of things, those self-medicating, compulsive kinds of activities. And I would go down the path of doing those things too much. And then I would feel like a spiritual failure, a spiritually stupid, spiritually fake person. And with the possibility of going into that whole ego thought system of, something's wrong with me, I'm bad, I'm never going to be able to do this, I'm such a failure, I'm such a fake. But I really decided that I was not interested in that anymore. And while it still continued to happen to me, it began to be less and less. And I truly attribute a huge factor in my healing to being able to say, Spirit, help me only be interested in the things that are for my highest and best. The thoughts, and one of my constant affirmations was, I only think the thoughts I think with God. God thoughts are my thoughts. And one of the things that makes a huge difference in our journey is self-love. Self-love, self-esteem. And one of the ways that we seem to build self-esteem is through accomplishment. And the ego will send us down very long and winding paths to try to accomplish things so that we can feel good about ourselves. The thing is it's also a path of false idolatry. Meaning, if I am lovable and good because I bake the best pie, because I bake a great pie, because I wrote a beautiful song, because I'm the best typist, because I can lift 100 pounds, or I weigh 100 pounds, or the size of my butt, or the, you know, whatever, anything in the world of form. If that's where our self-esteem comes from, it's pure ego. It's not God esteem. And therefore, it's not healing. It's distracting. I've worked with many people as a spiritual counselor and as a minister who, especially when I lived in LA, who were physically spectacularly gorgeous, totally ripped, you know, abs, six-pack abs, the people who had beautiful faces, beautiful hair, beautiful skin, talented singers, dancers, actors, all kinds of amazing, beautiful, talented people who had some of the lowest self-esteem of anyone I ever met. All their accomplishment in the physical world of form did not increase their self-esteem, right? Look at Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, Marilyn Monroe, all these people, right? So many gifts and talents, beautiful people in every way. And they're killing themselves because they don't love themselves. So if we're trying to make ourselves feel better through accomplishing things in the world, it's just going to have the opposite effect ultimately. If we're thinking that somebody else is going to value what we've done in the world. However, if we do things in the world because we love ourselves, to nurture and nourish ourselves, that actually builds true self-esteem. So as I've been contemplating this class, one of the things I was came to is loving yourself enough to care for your body, not to obsessively care for it and idolize it, but just to care for it in a way that it is hospitable. It's, A Course in Miracles calls the body the temple. The main thing is the altar within the temple, but still the temple is valuable. It's a learning tool. It's a communication tool. It's very valuable to us as spiritual students. So being able to be physically fit to the degree that you're comfortable. So some people will ignore their bodies, and that's not self-loving. So again, we don't want to become obsessed and idolize the body, not at all. But just going outside for a walk, stretching your legs, can really be such an act of love. I injured my back a couple of years ago, and part of the heal, and I did it through sitting in meditation in a posture that was just a little bit off. And I went through to a week-long meditation thing, and just sitting that way a little bit for the week with all the cumulative, it was just from the years prior to that, it was just enough to set me over the edge. And now, of course, I'm grateful for that experience. I learned so much, but it was excruciatingly painful. And part of my healing was to walk. And walking was very painful. And in the beginning, just walking from the bed to the bathroom was so painful, I couldn't help but cry. That's how painful it was. I couldn't help but cry. And when I'd be saying affirmations all the way to the bathroom, crying, crying, crying. And then I could walk down the street. And so the remedy was to walk, and it was painful. So, but what I realized is through that walking through the pain, I was doing it out of love for my body. And so because it was an act of love, and I did it without hatred, without anger, without resentment. I wasn't mad at myself for having had this experience. You know, I could say, oh, I brought it upon myself, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't go to that place. And so the going outside and getting into the vibration of the outdoors and the nature, even though it was painful, it felt so loving to my being to be in nature and to be walking to heal my body. So loving accomplishment, I prefer to cook my own foods. I don't really like most prepared foods, and I don't really like eating out in restaurants a lot. It's just not my thing. I often don't like a lot of the noise and the energy of I prefer to eat at home and cook at home. And so I cook myself beautiful meals, and I prepare beautiful food, and I buy the foods that I like, not just things that are good for me, but things that I really enjoy. And I look for them. I look for recipes that will be interesting to me. And I take the time to do that out of self-love. And so I'm lifted by it, because we're lifted by all experiences of love. The more we're lifted by love, loving ourselves and others, having self-compassion and compassion for others, the more clearly we will hear divine guidance and inspiration. And this is why A Course in Miracles says over and over again, your brother is your savior. Your brother is your savior. And self-compassion is so healing. And for myself, I developed the ability to be compassionate with others. And that softened me towards myself. So I began to commit to see the perfection and the beauty in others, and it helped me to see it in myself. And so I did realize that my brothers and sisters were my saviors, because anyone who came to me who my ego previously would have said, oh my God, they're too much. I can't handle them. They're too emotional. They're too negative. They're too complaining. They're too this. They're too that. I began to see they're having a challenge, and they are expressing a cry for love. And so that's why when I first started A Course in Miracles and it said that, I was like, oh my God, this is what I've been doing for the last 20 years or whatever. Recognizing that when someone is angry, it's a cry for love. So extend love, extend compassion. Don't make them wrong for it. That's not going to help them. And in my family, people would say if they didn't like the way you were acting, if you were upset and you were upset with them, they would make you wrong for that. And I learned to do that. That if my dad's upset with me, well, he's wrong. He's stupid. He's bad. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Instead of, my dad's having a hard time, how can I be helpful to him? And it was a great thing when I finally learned that when I was upset, that if my dad said, hey, I don't appreciate that you're upset right now. I could say, Dad, I'm having a hard time. I could use some support. I know that you would prefer I not be having a hard time, but I am, and I can use your support. And then my dad could say, oh, okay, I can help you, because my dad's loving and compassionate and kind, but he feels threatened if I'm not happy. So if I wasn't happy and he felt threatened and he would get angry at me, then I would just think, F you, dude, I've had enough of you. And I would get provocative towards him and push his buttons, and then he'd really get angry and we'd have a huge explosion. And we probably had that experience about maybe 10,000 times before I finally realized, oh, you know what? This is not getting us anywhere. And instead of thinking, oh no, I'm such a loser, I did it again, oh no, how did I, and thinking I'm an idiot, I realized, make a different choice. Ask for help. I could only have the self-love to ask for help because I had been asking for help from God, from the angels, from spirit. This is what John and I were talking about in the choosing surrender. We have to surrender trying to figure everything out ourselves if we'd like to hear divine guidance and inspiration. Hello. It's so obvious when you recognize it, but when we're not willing to love ourselves, when we're not willing to answer the cry for love with love, we won't recognize what's really going on because we don't want to, because we're not interested in it. So that's the thing, is many spiritual students are terrified of hearing divine guidance because they are terrified that God is going to tell them to do something they don't want to do. And I can tell you when I was, when was it? I don't know, it was a very long time ago, sometime in the 90s. I was reading Carolyn Mace's first book. I don't think she had any other books out at that point. It was just Anatomy of the Spirit. And in the beginning of that book, it's all about the chakras. In the beginning of that book, she talks about when her intuition started to open up. And she had planned to be a writer. And at that time that I read the book, I was in film school for writing. I was in the master's screenwriting program at USC Film School. At the time, it was probably one of two of the top film screenwriting programs in the world. You know, there were, 15 people, 20 people in my program. And so it was like the elite of the elite, you know. And I'm in this writing program and I'm reading this book about how Carolyn Mace is saying that she wanted to write historical fiction. That was her dream, but her intuition intervened and started taking her down this road of being a medical intuitive. I was lying in the bath, soaking in the tub when I was reading this, and I've never done this before or since. I read those words about how she never got to be the writer she wanted to be, that spirit had a whole different idea for her. And I literally threw the book across the room. I just like threw it out of my hand, like, oh, I cannot read that. And that was my ego reaction. So if we're rejecting the guidance that we get because it's not what we think we'd like, what we're literally doing is we're rejecting our answered prayer. We're rejecting the answered prayer. So I'm going to wrap things up here. It's interesting. I've noticed there haven't been a huge amount of Course in Miracles quotes, but I'm following my guidance here. Forgiveness. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. Gary was talking about that yesterday. Forgiveness often requires courage. And the number one thing is for us to forgive ourselves. A Course in Miracles says all forgiveness is self-forgiveness. Why? Because the only thing there is to forgive is our projections, the meaning we made of things, our interpretations. That's what true forgiveness is. And by the way, if you'd like a free forgiveness workshop that many have told me has been extremely helpful to them, my How to Get Over It on the homepage at jenniferhadley.com, How to Get Over It. It's a free workshop. You get the audio, you get the transcript, get everything right there. Forgiveness requires courage because we're going to get triggered into fear when we go down the forgiveness path because the ego is so attached to the meaning it made of everything. And the thought of forgiving is also about opening the heart, opening ourselves to divine insight, wisdom, and clarity. And so that's death to the ego. Or it's submission. It's subduing the ego, dissolving the ego. And the ego will seem to fight against it. The ego has no power. Like I said in the class with John Mundy, the ego is like a puppet. It has no volition or power of its own. But if we put our hand in that puppet, then it does seem as though the puppet can do all kinds of things. But the truth is, the puppet is inanimate. It has no power of its own. So it takes courage to disconnect from the false identity that we've created of ourselves as being unlovable, fundamentally bad, or wrong, unworthy, not good enough, failure. It takes courage to do this work. We will be lifted and carried if we agree. That's what I have experienced. So when I deeply committed to be all in for God, it didn't mean that I didn't fall down or seem to forget or choose the ego 100 times a day, but my decision to be all in for God and my recommitting to it daily shifted my whole experience. And self-forgiveness is the main thing that opens up our spiritual sight. And that usually requires a willingness to look within. Yet there's a fear to look within that stops us from doing the inner work, and it keeps us from clearing out the mental and emotional clutter that keeps us playing small. So self-compassion is the tool that gives us the courage to look within. I did a radio show earlier this year. There's a section in A Course in Miracles about the fear to look within. It's, we have judged ourselves as ugly and hideous and deformed and wrong and bad. And it's those judgments that we fear are true. And that's why we are afraid of looking within. But the kingdom is within, not the ugliness or the hideousness. Underneath that made up story that we have is the kingdom. That's what's within. Seek ye first the kingdom, which is within, and all else will be added unto you. And what that all else that's going to be added unto us is our true identity shining forth in our awareness. And self-love is the key that unlocks it all of it. And we develop the willingness to love ourselves through having compassion for others. We have compassion for others, and then we start to have compassion for ourselves. That's why our brothers and sisters are our savior. So self-compassion, compassion for others, cultivating those will automatically cultivate the forgiveness, willingness, which will also, all of it will lead you to hearing, seeing, feeling, and knowing the truth that sets you free, which is the seeing, hearing, feeling, and knowing divine guidance and inspiration. It's the same for everyone. It's the same for everyone. And all we have to do is be willing to give everything that we recognize as false or every feeling of upset to the Holy Spirit for healing and stop trying to do it on our own. We cannot do it on our own, so let's stop trying. Let's really choose surrender. Let's really open to love. Let's really give ourselves this gift. So grateful. So we have one last class. It's Speed Up Your Healing. And in that class, I will also tell you some next steps that you could take with me if you'd like to do more of this work with me. The speeding up your healing. So I'm going to give you some clear tips and tools about how to speed up your healing in that next class. And if you've enjoyed these classes, won't you please share them with friends? And if you see our postings at Facebook, won't you share them and like them and so that more people see these free classes and take advantage of them? And we have more free Living A Course in Miracles classes that you can access. So please enjoy them. And of course, there's my weekly radio show, and we're coming up on the 300th episode. So years of that radio show with lots of these teachers who've been in the class, some of them, and many other Course in Miracles teachers who've done Living A Course in Miracles classes with me. And there's lots of resources at livingacourseinmiracles.com, study group support, free text messages. We have so many things, my daily blog and prayer and the forgiveness workshop and so much more at jenniferhadley.com. I also would like to say another thank you to all the people who have made donations of all sizes to support this work. Your contributions are so supportive and helpful, because when we started, we had to charge for the audios and the downloads, and now we can give them away for free. And I'm just so grateful for that, that it works. Spirit works. That it is Spirit in A Course in Miracles says to have, give all to all. So to have love, give love to all. To have that sense of strength and courage, see it in your brothers and sisters. So we are all one, and it is so beautiful when we can be in that flow of giving and receiving love and the all good of God. I thank you so much for joining with me today. I look forward to our class on Saturday. And tomorrow you'll have a chance to catch up on some of the classes. And let's take that breath of love and gratitude and go into prayer here. So grateful and so thankful for the love of God that is revealing itself in our hearts and in our minds. We are truly grateful and truly thankful for divine love, wisdom, and clarity being our constant companions, because they are our true identity. All the spiritual qualities of God are our natural identity, and we are grateful and thankful to know it not just for ourselves, but for all of our brothers and sisters. So our healing is something we share with everyone because we're one with them. In gratitude, we allow our healing to be. We let love rule. We know it's already done and accomplished, so we allow it to be, and so it is. Amen. Amen, amen. God bless you. I love you. I'll be with you on Saturday. Mwah. And Saturday, I'm going to take some questions too. Mwah.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.